Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, inviting you to our virtual living room, where we discuss today's issues and how those issues relate to the Holy Scriptures. So sit back, relax, and engage in conversation with us.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. The Most High in the name of Christ bless you. I am Josiah, and welcome to our virtual living room where we examine recent events and other topics as they pertain to the Holy Scriptures. We give all praises to the Most High and Christ, and we give thanks for God's generous mercy, grace, and forgiveness. At this time, I'd like to introduce to you the brothers that are with me today in the virtual living room. We have, first off, Brother Kazakia.
Hey, shalom, brothers and sisters out there who are listening, as well as the brothers on the panel. Most High, in the name of Christ, bless all, and I'm definitely appreciative to the Lord to be back to deal with this subject matter.
All right, also, I'd like to introduce to you Brother Yohanathan.
Yes, good evening to all. Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you all. And that's it.
And I'd like to also introduce Brother Kabar.
Thanks, shalom, brothers and sisters. Most High, in the name of Christ, bless the servants. Glad to be back on the show, and definitely looking forward to the edification of this topic and like manner going into last week's topic.
Well, brothers, as you're well aware, the topic this week has to deal with the career woman, which is basically a sequel to last week's program on the career man. And Kabar, what I'm going to ask you for in a couple of moments, if you would, to give us a couple of definitions, one on career and the other one something you brought out last week, careerism. So basically what we're going to discuss today, we're going to go over, kind of recap a little bit from last week's program to kind of lead into this week's program, and we're going to bring out the reason why we're doing that. And then we're going to speak about the career woman as an individual and how those career decisions affect her as an individual and how those decisions affect her family and also her community. So, Kabar, if you would, could you give us a definition for career?
All right.
When we talk about career, what does that mean?
All right, career, this is according to dictionary.com. It says, an occupational profession, especially one requiring special training, followed as one's life work. Okay, now that's an important part, when it says followed as one's life work. Second one is a person's progress or general course of action through life or through a phase of life, as in some profession or undertaking. Success in a profession, occupation, a course. So pretty much that's it. But definitions one and two, an occupational profession, especially one requiring special training, followed as one's life work, okay? And the second definition, a person's progress or general course of action through life or through a phase of life as in some profession or undertaking.
Okay, so that pretty much goes to any type of work that you have. You're a doctor, you're a factory worker, production line worker, or if you are, you provide cleaning services. If you're doing that as your life's work, then that would be considered your career, correct?
To a certain degree, but remember, in the first definition, it tells you an occupational profession, especially one requiring special training, followed as one. So we're talking about special training. Normally, in cases like as far as a career, you're dealing with something that either requires higher levels of education and an ongoing, continuing type of education. That's what distinguishes something, a job from a career. You know, a job is basically, you know, some kind of work you do that doesn't require special training. You know, mm-hmm. just as long as you can follow some simple instructions, you can do that job. Mm-hmm. Career is something where you have to combine a certain specific set of skills in order to continue forward and to grow in that and in that field of profession, and also undergoing continual education and heightening of one's abilities and knowledge in that field.
Well, it sounds like what you're bringing out is that you're not going to have a career as a fry cook at McDonald's.
No, you're not.
Okay. All right. The second thing, the other definition that you brought out last week was the one about careerism. What's the difference between having a career and careerism?
I believe you're referring to careerist.
Careerist. Okay.
Yes.
That's right.
The one we spoke about last week. Hold on one second. Let me just pull this one up for you.
Okay. Because, you know, that it's important to understand because when we talk about certain characteristics surrounding careers, I think that term that you used, rather than going and elaborating, explaining that characteristic, we just use that term. We just establish that up front, exactly what that means, and we just call it careers from, you know, going forward.
Okay. You know what? It's not... Let me come back to that in just one second because it's not pulling up the one that we had last week. Just give me a
second. Sure thing. Kazakia, last week, you know, of course, the program was on the career man. Would you mind kind of giving us just a small recap of some of the things that were discussed, you know, summation of what was discussed and what was kind of concluded about the career man as it pertains to the scriptures?
Right. Last week we discussed careers, the career man, the careerist, the definitions of those two, as well as, you know, we also discussed in brief the difference, well, not exactly the difference, probably the wrong word for me to use, but we definitely discussed what the career man does, or what he is about, or what are his focuses and his goals. We talked about the repercussions, or we alluded to the repercussions of the career man as far as what his goals or his focus, his aim is on his career. Then, of course, the family, if he has one, that suffers. We also talked about where does one draw the line between the career and service to the Lord, and we also surmised from that every man has to draw that line for himself, like the scriptures tells us that we all have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So every man and woman, they have to draw that line for themselves if they have that career in which, you know, a lot of time is spent at the job or out in the field or traveling, whatever the case may be. They have to draw that line. All right, I will not pursue this to this point, or I'm at this point, I don't need to go any further because my service to the Lord will lack, and, you know, my devotion to my family or my household will come will be overthrown. So we talked about those things as well. One thing that I know that we wanted to really go back and more or less emphasize again is the fact that if we put too much in our careers, then the Lord and our service or our responsibility to the Lord will lack. And by that, I'm referring to our work in the church. As far as us doing what we're supposed to do in the church, that will go lacking. And not only will that go lacking, our family lives and the family structure, that will go lacking. Because if let's just say, for instance, we have a young man who's way up, going up corporate ladder, and he's going so far up corporate ladder, or he is so in hot pursuit of advancing the corporate ladder that now his family life is becoming untangled, unstruck. He may have that wife that's now out of order, that's now doing things that she ought not do, or wife might not be satisfied because he's on the job all the time. So now she's outside, or she's out pursuing other interests where her husband should be there to satisfy those interests or to satisfy her needs, so forth and so on. Same thing with the children. Whereas once upon a time, husband was home dealing with his children, teaching his children, instructing his children, correcting his children. Now, because he's so in hot pursuit up the corporate ladder, that now the children are becoming out of order. They becoming delinquents. They becoming gremlins. They're not being taught what they should be taught. They're out in the street acting wild, being disrespectful to authority, so forth and so on. So there is a price. There is indeed a severe consequence for that man, that career man, that's too far focused and involved in ascending the corporate ladder. So okay. Basically, the point is there must be a balance between the career. Of course, you have to earn money to pay the bills, you know, to take care of your wife, to feed your wife and your children. There has to be a balance between that and, of course, first and foremost, your responsibilities to the Lord.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Thank you, brother. You want to Kazaki has brought out a number of things about the career man and how, you know, you can't have your focus on your career and sacrificing your duties to your family. And he was kind of, you know, bringing out how the symptoms of those of you neglecting your duties at home may surface in the behavior of your wife and your children. Could you give us some explicit examples? Because we know we've seen these examples time and time again in the media. Could you give us some examples of what exactly, explicit examples of what that looks like when those symptoms of the neglect, the husband or the father's neglect of his family and for the sake of career, what those things look like? What type of things actually take place? What is the wife doing that is symptomatic of this neglect? What are the children doing that's symptomatic of this man's neglect for the sake of his career?
Okay, when a man neglects his duties in the house for the sake of his career, type of things that would go on, for example, is you have unruly children. What I mean by unruly children, children that will not follow your instructions. Why should they follow your instructions when you're never there? When you're never there instilling and establishing what's got to be done, okay?
Okay. Now, exactly what I'm trying to find out, you know, like give me an illustration. And I know you may not have like a news item or something, but, you know, give me like a hypothetical of what that would look like. You know, what exactly, for an example, would a child be doing? Would they be unruly, not follow instructions? Like, for example, you tell them you leave home, you say clean your room up, you get home and the room's not clean. Or is it something more severe than that?
Yeah, more severe. The most severe is the commandments. If you're not there, and say your child, let's say you have a son and he starts stealing, okay? The commandments of thou shalt not steal, but he's stealing and doing all types of things with that theft, you know?
He's still in the house? You know?
Yeah, in the house. Okay. Or he can go abroad. He can go to the mall with his quote-unquote friends that he think that his friends and steal there or anywhere, at school or wherever he may be, you know? Another one, he's out because you're not there instructing him. Now he has, because he's growing up, and as a young man, you know, you start to look at girls, okay? But see, now if you're not there, explain it to him, listen, you know, yes, you're going to look at girls, but yes, there's more important things that you have to take care of now, meaning your education, understanding of responsibility of once getting a wife. Okay, if you're not there teaching him that, he doesn't understand that that's a part of the whole package of not just looking at a woman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he's going out there trying to fulfill the gratification of his flesh, not understanding that he's put himself in far worse anger and waiting on the wrath of the Lord by doing those acts of fornication, you know? So, but if you're not there teaching him that, how will he know? If you out there constantly getting money, what good is that when your son just lost his soul?
That's a very good point, because the world is definitely teaching something different. Kabar, what about the wife in a relationship like that when she has this husband that's really neglecting his duties at home? You know, what type of things might surface with her that would be symptomatic of him neglecting his duties?
Well, you know, the scriptures talk about when you're dealing with the order that is supposed to be set up in the household. And the scriptures talk about if the wife will learn anything, let her learn at home, you know, with that husband. That husband is primarily set to be the example, both in word and deed, as far as the way of God, the path and direction that God is supposed to be taking that family, that is supposed to be first and foremost exemplified in that man. Okay? Mm-hmm. The things that he's saying are congruent and matching up with the things that he's doing, which are in turn matching up with what is written in the Bible. And so when they look at that man, they're able to see this is what God wants us to do. That plain and simple, when they look at a husband, that man, that woman, and those children are supposed to say, that's what God wants us to do. So if he's setting the wrong example, saying the wrong things contrary to the scriptures and living contrary to the scriptures, he is setting a bad example, which will in turn cause his household to fall, and in detail, in turn, cause his children to exemplify the wrong attitude, the wrong behavior, and his wife. Some of the things
right, so
might be in
with this,
go ahead.
With this wife, then, what would be like an explicit example? You know, would she just talk back to him? Is that what's going to happen? She's just
not only that. The talking back. You're talking about beginning to become unruly, beginning to move into transgressing other scriptures. When you talk about just, you know, practical things, you're talking about the dietary law or, you know, laws regarding idolatry, things like that. We all come out of, you know, out of this idolatrous world where they celebrate pagan holidays, so on and so forth. You may
right.
have a wife who may return to those type of things, who may begin to look at, whether it's her family members or a friend, look at the pagan and idolatrous practices that they do and begin to gravitate toward that. You may
right.
see a difference in the way that your wife dressed, all types of things.
So now for those people who might listen to this program and they don't understand what paganism means, they don't understand what idolatry means, you know, could you kind of break that down on a level where they can really understand exactly what it is you're talking about? You know, it's like give a specific, explicit, hypothetical example. For example, you know, are you talking about she's celebrating Christmas, for example? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. When I say pagan, meaning anything outside of the obedience to the Most High commandments and observing the things which he established in the Bible, everything outside of that is pagan, meaning established by man and unclean spirits that men have within them, okay? That's pagan. Whether you're talking specifically the example of Christmas, you know, Easter, all of these practices come out of idolatry that man developed out of his own depraved mind. That's what I mean by pagan.
Okay, okay. Any other things that, you know, I mean, things that you see in the community, in a family, that is that could potentially be a result of this, I guess, careerist attitude? Do you have a definition for that yet?
I do. We're dealing with a careerist-minded person or careerism, the words you mentioned earlier. This is from Wikipedia.org. It tells you careerism is the overwhelming desire or urge to advance one's own career or social status, usually at the expense of other personal interests or social growth. Careerism is not simply the desire to succeed in the workplace. Careerist individuals are often seen as conniving workers who will stop at nothing to succeed. Okay, so that's what that mind state is about. It's completely self-centered, egotistical, on what a person wants, what their lust is, and that is the only thing that matters or counts with them. Everything else is shoved to the side and put on the back burner. When we deal in a specific case that we're dealing in, we're talking about the Most High commandments, his will, his desire for that person's life. That is sidelined so that they can establish what they desire and want and pursue that instead.
Okay. All right, well, let's get into talking about more specifically about the career woman. And let's take a look at a young woman who is just starting out on her career. And, you know, she's gone through college, maybe even has a master's degree. You know, so she's obviously fits the definition for career because she's had some seriously specialized training in whatever field. She's a young woman. She's unmarried. She has no children. Is there any extent that she can go to with her career that would actually be prohibited by the scriptures? Is there a career direction that she could choose that would be prohibited? You know, or is it all good? Is there, are careers as a whole, are they a bad thing? No, that's what we want to find out about. So first thing, this young woman who's graduated, she has an MBA. Is there any career path that she could choose? Well, first of all, are careers as a whole, are they a bad thing for young women?
Now, we have to remember what we read in the definitions of a career. Remember, a career is what one pursues as their life's work. It is with their, it's what their energy, their desire, what their focus is. Okay, so right off, the entire situation is contrary or hostile toward the Most High's commandments and direction that he actually wants a woman's life to go in. There's a balance in fitting it in, but not in the way that this world has established careers, per se.
Okay. Now, that brings about an interesting question, Kazakia, that, you know, right off the rip, the fact that you are pursuing a career, it is in somewhat opposition to the scriptures, somewhat, because we know we got to work, okay? Mm-hmm. But the nature of career, because it does mean that you've invested a lot in pursuing a particular direction, you know, there could potentially be a tendency to take away from the scriptures in that. But the thing is, that we're talking about a career woman. Is there any difference in that, a young woman who has an MBA and a young man that has an MBA setting out? Is there any difference between the two of them?
No. As far as I can see, no. There is no difference between a young man setting out want to acquire things and a young woman setting out want to acquire things and better him or herself. Now, what must be said is this: the scripture that we talked about last week is in Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. And I'm gonna read from verse 1 to verse 2. But the point here is in verse 2: if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2: set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, as far as this is concerned, for those of us who are repenting in Christ, we're supposed to be seeking the kingdom of heaven. We're supposed to be seeking our salvation, going about working so that we be those righteous examples. We be more and more like Christ, and we're able to teach and edify our people. Verse 2, set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. So we're supposed to be setting our affections or our desires on pleasing the Most High, on more and more like his son Christ, on putting on those fruits of the Spirit and being those examples of Christ in the world. In other words, being light. Now, I would like to couple that with this so we understand something. We touched on it last week, again, Ecclesiasticus chapter 11, verse 14. Prosperity and adversity, life and death, poverty and riches come of the Lord. So as far as that career man, that career woman is concerned, please keep in mind that whatever that you acquire, it all comes from the Most High. It all comes from God Almighty. Do not put these things above God Almighty. Don't put your career, your ascension above the corporate ladder, or your want to gain or fit into a certain socioeconomic bracket as far as income is concerned. Don't put that above the Most High, because the Most High is the one that gives us the ability to acquire these things. The Most High is the one that blesses us with these things. So don't put these objects, okay, above the person who gives them to you. Don't do that. If anything, if you're that career man, not a careerist, but that career man or that career woman, which we're talking about today, still it remains the same. You have to draw that line between, okay, this is where I am in my career, but I do not want to go to this point or this point because of the fact that if I do, then my service to the Lord will be lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes idolatry.
Okay. Kabar, you kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, inherent in having a career is this tendency to be in opposition to the scriptures. Are you indicating at all that it is an evil thing and that you should not ever pursue a career?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is when you begin to pursue anything, okay, anything as your life's work outside of what the Most High has established your life's work or your life's focus is supposed to be, it's bad. Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. If you insert anything in between that, or you begin to seek something else first other than what the Most High has established your life for, that you move into idolatry. That's the problem. The world's psychology, the world's definition of what a career is and what Satan has fooled man into thinking is, well, listen, don't seek the kingdom first and foremost. Hey, there's a career. Divert your focus on this. Hey, how about seeking, you know, worldly attainment? Seek that. See, that's where the problem comes in at. Let's get to, get to a focus on what is actually a woman, what was her purpose in her creation, and where is her focus supposed to revolve around and be focused on. Just to get some foundational things, Genesis 3:16. This is the Heavenly Father, right, who made the woman and then gave the woman to the man. I started Genesis 2:18, and it said, this is God. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him, meaning proper for him. Jump down to verse 22 in chapter 2 of Genesis. It says, and the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he the woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Jump down into Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. So we're dealing with what is the focus of that woman's life really supposed to be as far as why God created and made her in the first place. Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, this is the Heavenly Father, saying, giving the woman a charge, a direction in life. It says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception because of the sin. Okay? And it says, in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. Now here's the point. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Okay, so that's one of the focal points of that woman's life. But there's other things that the scriptures tell us to focus on. You can go to Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, dealing with the woman and what her focus is supposed to be. Other things could be included to enhance that focus, to help that focus, but it's not supposed to be included to divert or change that focus. That's what we're dealing with. Titus chapter, just two more verses. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, about the woman. And that they teach, this is the older woman in the church, what they teach in the young woman. And that they teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, meaning maintaining the household, managing the household. It says, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, when that focus changed and that woman's direction changed, she's going to get into a situation where the word of God can begin to be blasphemed. So you see how the world sets up careers to conflict with the true directions of a man or a woman's life.
Okay. All right. Now, if you're just listening in, we are discussing the career woman. We're discussing the impact that a career will have upon a woman as an individual, a woman's family, and also a woman's community. You want to think. This woman as an individual person, you know, she's not married, she has no children, but she is, by definition, she's involved in careerism. What are the potential pitfalls of being involved in careerism, you know, where she is just solely thinking about a career at the sacrifice of other things around her? you know, she's an individual woman. You know, what kinds of symptoms would we see in her life and in the areas around her as an individual?
Okay, you know, there would be a problem if she was to be solely invest all her time and energy into her job. You know, you become ensnared into those type of entrapments of loving your money. You know, the love, like the scripture said, the love of money, the lust of money, is the root of all evil. Okay, so she would be, get in that trap. And then not only that, I mean, once you devote yourself all the time to your job, you know, you fall into this scripture here where it warns you of these things and tells you of what's to be. Because if you spend all your time on your career, not your time on your spirit and your fear, perfecting your fear of the Heavenly Father and becoming one of the stature and the measure of Christ, if you constantly on the job and you don't take time to study the scriptures and follow the words of Christ, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it tells you this. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." So that pride of life, oh, I got this job, I got this stature, all of those things, those are not of the Heavenly Father. And this is the key, verse 17. "And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So if you constantly caught up, you know, you never understand, like the scripture says here, that this world will pass away. We're not saying be a vagabond and be broke, but the bottom line, according to the scriptures, we're saying put the Heavenly Father first, and the Heavenly Father add all those things that you need. And then didn't the scriptures also tell you what Christ said? He says, "I go prepare you a place in my house, in my Father's house are many mansions." So the true riches are with Christ. You know, this stuff is, like we say, temporal.
Mm-hmm.
It's only for a minute. So if you constantly being into that careerism, like the brother was bringing out, you're going to miss your true reward from the Heavenly Father in Christ, which is eternal life and endurable riches forever in righteousness.
Okay. All right. And that's the most important thing is in life, is to, you know, do those things for yourself by following the scriptures so that you achieve salvation. We do have a visitor to the virtual living room, and the visitor is calling from telephone number ending in 5215. And visitor, if you would, go ahead and give us your name and your comment of question. We are discussing the career woman.
All right. Brothers, this is Amon Buffalo, Most High in Christ. Bless everybody.
Hello, Amon. How are you?
All right.
I was calling because I've been on my career for about 20 years, coming up in January. It was one of the dynamics I wanted to hit at concerning this matter, which is real important. What a lot of women in our nation do sleep is, well, first of all, with a woman, I find that most women that I deal with, we're pretty much the same. We like things. We like items. We like to buy. We like to have, and we get caught up in that. Even in the scriptures, you have to be careful because that's consuming. We like to have nice things and go-go. We're living in a world where we are allowed to be exalted on jobs, you know, a lot of times above our men. And just being out and working in the field that I work in, some of the things that I know that is very important that the woman, especially the woman of our nation, has to watch is, when you're out in these work fields in this career, you're dealing with the envy, the strife, the malice, contention, perversion. Okay, these are the forces that you're out in this world dealing with. Me being a married woman, some of the things that I deal with on my job is, no, the men, especially a lot of men of other nations, they'll target in at me, not necessarily on a sexual tip or anything, but they'll do certain things to me, and it is blatant that it's to destroy my husband. So if I go out into this work field and I'm not dealing with Christ, there's so many different variables that you'll have people, because contrary to what a lot of people believe, the so-called Negro woman is the easiest target for men of other nations. And when you out here pursuing careers, you're going to deal with these cats from these other nations. And just what they see from us on BET and their image of that black woman, she's very dumb. She's very lustful. They want her, and she's very easy to get because she's not instructive. They have so many games that they play to get you. That's more of what the plight of a single woman. She's so consumed with the lust of this life and the things that this life has to offer that she's blind to what is actually going on around her. The only defense she has, because she is out there in this world on a level that we weren't in back in the times of ancient times, okay? We were precious. We were at home. It was a different order. You know, that virtuous woman at 31, she wasn't going inside the prison cells with cats, bringing home money. It wasn't that type of party. But now the game has changed. You got to make sure when you're going out there, you're following the instructions of Christ, because that's the only way you're going to see what's coming at you. Nothing in this work field, okay, I'm almost 50 years old. I've been working a long time. Nothing in this work field, if you pursuing a career or whatever, that's beautiful. And nothing wrong with that. But your game in righteousness has definitely got to be tight and stay tight when you're out there. You can't exhaust yourself. You can't be puffed up. You got to know what you're there for. You got to walk honorable before the Lord. That's where you're going to get your respect. You got to know that cats are going to bring conversation to soothe your lust. They're going to bring you compliments. They're going to stab you behind your back, especially if they know that you and your husband's game is tight. They are going to be in a perpetual state to destroy your man. And if you out there in that world without that kind of guidance, it's very easy. You could come home bringing demons into your house, and your husband is stressed out. Your kids are out of order. You're a single woman. Next thing you know, you're two legs up with all kind of different seeds of other nations going up in you. And you're dealing with all of this in the plight to pursue a career. That career thing in that workforce is one of the main facets in this life where people abuse people that are not even God.
Wow.
I just wanted to hit at that, you know, on that career woman thing. I mean, it is what it is. Your man, you and him decide you're going to go out there and make that money. Ain't nothing wrong with that, okay? But it's nothing but money. Money is a defense for you and him to grow, build, leave something for your children when your days come to an end. That has not changed. When you leave this earth, your kids should have some type of inheritance, if you can do it, okay, where they can pursue their life, Lord willing, in righteousness, and keep, you know, give them a little cushion to keep that thing going. But this career thing, oh, I got a good paying job, and, you know, I got this, I got Cindy, I got Gucci, Versace, and my house has this, and my house has this. It's that mentality, and women know I'm talking, that's how we're built up. That mentality and that mindset is what gets you caught out there, that lust of the world. That's why when the scriptures say not to pursue the things that are on this earth, but the things that are in heaven, that's in Colossians, that's where you got to keep your mindset. And it's easier for me to see it now because I'm at the tail end of my career. But those younger women that are coming along, okay, it's very easy to get caught up in this madness that's going on. It's a spiritual warfare, big time. When you send that woman out there into that workforce, okay, because she don't have to be a looker, she don't have to be fine, but some demon out there is going to target that woman because she's walking in Christ and speaking to her, and that's what she's got to be careful of.
So now, I'm, you know, just to kind of summarize or paraphrase what you're saying here, here you have a woman, she has just finished up her training, whether she had to go to college or technical school or whatever type of training it is. Now she has commenced her career. Are you saying, it sounds like what you're saying, is that is the point where she really needs to be strong in the scriptures. And if she's not strong in the scriptures, then there will be someone that's going to prey on her to entice her to commit all kinds of atrocious sins at the sake of, you know, with the intent of
pursue the happiness. You're going to sock it to her because we as women don't see, number one, we as women don't see the game that men play. Number two, those who are not in the scriptures see even less than those that are. So when you step into that workforce, first of all, the workforce is competitive. It's dog eat dog. So when you're stepping out there, you got cats that's only going to give you your position if you're laying with them. You know what I'm saying? It's the Most High that's going to come along and get you that position in righteousness, because they're going to slip up. And then he's going to lay that trump in your lap, and they're going to have to give it to you anyway. And that's the patience that you have, where the Most High will increase you in your job. All you have to do is just go to work, deal diligently and righteously in the scriptures on your job, and the Most High bring the increase. He said, seek the kingdom of heaven first. Plus, the Lord said it's an easy thing for him to make a poor man rich. So you increasing your job, that ain't no big deal. You know, but right. It's the patience that you have to have. It doesn't come the first 3 years on your job. You got to wait years working a job for that increase to come. As you increase in righteousness, you increase in blessings, you know. And then everybody isn't made to be big ballers with money. So you be patient with whatever the Lord gives you, you know, on this earth. But just don't get caught up in this pursuit, in this paper mache kingdom, you know.
Okay. Let me ask you, and brothers also, you know, we see here from the examples that's being brought out that this woman is subject to be enticed to sleep with somebody in order to advance her career. Are there other kinds of things that would be in violation of scriptures that someone might be enticed to do in order to advance their career as a young female individual starting out a career?
You know, and I know the sister can definitely attest to the fact that, you know, you may have enticements to break the Lord's Sabbath day when you're dealing with those career. You know, that means, well, listen, do some overtime. You got to work on Saturday. Why don't you do this? Now, here it is. It's not something, they're not forcing this on you. They laying this out for you and trying to entice your lust. That's another example of certain things that will have you enticed to break the Lord's commandments in order to advance. And there are many other things.
But that's not really as bad as sleeping with somebody, is it?
It's the same judgment. It's the same judgment, brother. You know, when the Lord
just as bad, is what you're saying?
What I'm saying is the Lord, the judgment for breaking the Lord's Sabbath day and the judgment for adultery is the same. It's death. It, you know, it's a capital crime as far as the Most High is concerned. We can't put the boundaries on how, you know, well, this is more wicked than this. The Most High gave the same judgment for both. So the whole thing is our focus is supposed to be on not trying to measure between the Lord's commandments, but trying to keep them and obey them. And there's a few key things I want to point out in what the sister was bringing out. One of the main things is that, yes, she was on this job for a very long time, but it hasn't become her life's work, her life's focus. Remember, everything she said.
At one time it was. Greater understanding in Christ, it most certainly was, you know.
Yeah.
Everything was the money I made, you know. You know, you're talking 20 years. You look back 15, 18 years ago, oh, I thought I was, what, a man couldn't tell me nothing before I got with my husband. I don't need a man. I got my own money, you know. And so it was the mercy of the Most High and the growth and understanding in the scriptures, you know, that got me, you know, to where I am now, and I'm speaking in reflection back in my youth to where I am now, and it's very clear to me where it's like, yo, don't get caught up in that dollar, you know, and that pursuit or Satan make you think, oh, you make a 60, 70, 80 grand now, you know, you're sitting on some type of elevation on this life. You ain't sitting on nothing. You about to get played, you know.
You know,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, sis. I'll let you finish your point.
No, I'm done with that particular point.
You know, when that aspect that this sister is mentioning, that's exactly what Titus 2 is going into. You know, the age sisters being able to sit down with these younger sisters and let them understand exactly what's going on. That's when the scriptures talk about to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own. They have the experience in order to guide younger sisters on how to maintain that balance in the household, how to carry themselves, how to maintain that clarity of thought. That's exactly what the scriptures are talking about and why that absolute need is there for these older sisters to be clear-minded, sober, and then go forth and show that example to the younger sisters, because if they don't, that younger sister is going to get played that way.
Right.
That's an excellent point that you're bringing up there, Kabar.
Brothers in our nation, even with, you know, our own men, not even always looking outside, but looking in, if brothers just naturally want to see how weak the next brother's game is. You know what I'm saying? So put little stuff out there just to see how you're going to respond. You know what I'm saying? And you have to be diligent. The scriptures I've told guys where it's like, listen, how you going to play my husband out like that? You know, where are you at? You know, you, what are you talking about? We, you have to be direct with them and let them know. I see. You know, you don't want me. I ain't got nothing for you physically, but you're trying to see what you can get. Just see how weak my game, my husband's game is, because that's where their mindset is. You understand what I'm saying? That jealousy and that envy. They see that woman walking in order. You know what I'm saying? She's not into the sex game, you know, that most people are on my job anyway. So it's like they're going to throw little things out there just to see, oh, well, I ain't they with her, but I know I can get that. You know, just all kind of games that you have to be alert when you out there as a woman, because we're weaker vessels. And the only way you can, I can see what I see, and a lot of women that I know don't see it, is because it's the scriptures, number one, and I listen to my husband tell me and instruct me on the game that's out there. I'm not a perfect wife. I'm still growing in Christ. But that particular thing with me walking outside this door and another cat weakening my husband's household, it ain't going to happen.
That's a very, very good point. And we definitely want to go more into that point, because we want to really focus in on talking about the career woman and her family, which definitely includes a husband. But before we do that, we're going to go to an announcement, and when we come back, we're going to discuss that. And Amma, if you're able to stick around with us, we certainly appreciate it.
All right.
Brothers and sisters, at this time, please accept our invitation to visit us in the virtual living room to discuss today's topic. Comments or questions are eagerly encouraged, whether they agree or disagree with the viewpoints expressed by those involved in the program. To visit us in the virtual living room, please call 646-716-7749. Also, you can visit our website at thevocc.com, or you can email us at bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Ureach is the letter U followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com, or call us at 1-877-871-1712. This program is broadcast live each Sunday at 2 p.m. Remember to visit us right now in the virtual living room by calling 646-716-7749. Now, back to today's show.
Okay, brothers and sisters, we are back. We are discussing the career woman, and right now we are about to discuss, really focus in on the impact that a woman's career has on her family. And I believe that we're going to find that it's fairly significant. We got a visitor, so just one moment here. Let's go ahead and invite this visitor in. Hello, visitor, calling from last four digits 7064. Go ahead and give us your name and your question or comment.
Hey, I just want to say shalom to everyone. This is Abaja calling from Atlanta.
Hello, Abaja. How are you?
Christ bless you.
I'm fine. Christ bless. Yes, I just I was listening to the show, and I just had just a couple of points to add briefly, because I know we're kind of pressed for time. Pigtailing the bad choice of words, just kind of going off of what the sister was bringing out, and just the whole spirit of the show. I wanted to go to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 16, where it says, "How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver." So the scriptures is telling us, you know, in light of what we're saying and the show and everything, the scriptures is showing us that it's better to get wisdom than gold and understanding rather than choice silver, because filtering everything that we do through the scriptures, that's what's going to keep us focused on pleasing the Most High, so that when He blesses us with those things, that we don't go astray and allow that to become, you know, take precedence over what we're supposed to be doing. you know, there's nothing wrong with us, you know, a man or a woman pursuing a career, as that's been, you know, said. But the thing is that everything is filtered through the scriptures, as far as the decisions that we make, as far as how we advance, and, you know, that's how we direct our lives. But the other point that I wanted to make was going into, I'm not sure if y'all touched on this, was even just going into Proverbs, the 31st chapter, about, you know, the virtuous woman. And the thing about it is, a lot of times, you know, people perceive, you know, oh, this woman is in the scriptures. Oh, she must be barefoot, you know, at home with a bunch of kids running around. But when you read through some of those points in the 31st chapter, it goes to show you that part of her, you know, her duties as a woman, according to the scriptures, in running a household, it shows you that it says that she go, you know, she perceiveth the the land and goes out to buy it. Okay, just because I'm not gonna go through and read the whole thing, but the whole thing is that you go through and you read those verses. It's showing you that this woman is educated. It's showing you that this woman is knowledgeable. It shows you that basically you look at some of the things that it's running a household is parallel to running a business.
Yeah.
Okay. It's very similar, almost identical to running a business, because not only are you controlling the money, it even goes into about how she orders the servants to do certain things. So she has people under her that she's directing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the thing is that, you know, a lot of people get the position of a woman, according to the scriptures, as, you know, in a negative light. It's like, okay, well, all they do is stay home and take care of the kids, and they just barefoot, and they don't know anything. But that's not the case. So, you know, we just need to, you know, make sure that, you know, bottom line is that everything that we do is filtered through the scriptures.
You're one of them. Abacha just brought a very, very good point about this perception that people have that when a woman is following the scriptures, that basically she's barefoot pregnant at home, you know, chasing after children. And people have this other thing in mind about what success is. They see, you know, the nice house, you know, four or five bedrooms, 2-3-car garage, two real nice, almost new vehicles parked in the driveway, and you got a husband and a wife that they leave sometime early in the morning, go off and do their thing. They get back late at night. They've done their thing. They are polished. Everything is well organized. It's just a well-oiled machine, and they are making money. They're making money. They go on real nice vacations. They're taking cruises. They go out on nice dinners. They're doing those kind of things. Their kids have the best. They're dressed up real nice and all that. That lifestyle is provided by their careers. Now, is there anything wrong with aspiring to do that? Is there anything wrong for a woman to support her husband and aspiring to have those things?
There's nothing wrong with wanting those things, but you have to look at, if you're a follower of Christ, the Most High in Christ, you're going to look at success how the Most High and Christ outlined it. And according to what was outlined, that's not success. Real success, true success, is when you fear the Heavenly Father, keep His commandments, follow His Son Christ, all right, and raise your household in order. Okay, now, once you do those things, raise your household in order, what I'm saying is by the command, law, statutes, commandments of the Heavenly Father, by the Spirit of Christ, by the doctrine of Christ, then the Heavenly Father will add those things to us. I mean, those success is not being able to go out on a big cruise, okay? Because you go out on a cruise, who knows how many instructions that are given by the Heavenly Father you break, all right? For example, in this world, one thinks that eating shrimp and lobster, scallops and all these things is eating delicacy. But according to the word of the Heavenly Father, those things are an abomination. Mm-hmm. Or what if you go and go out on a big time cruise or whatever on the Sabbath and you know you're not keeping the commandments, you're not remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy, you're eating breakfast that morning, cooking lunch and everything else. So you know you have to outline and pad your success by the words of the Heavenly Father, which is found in the Holy Bible according to Jesus Christ. Now if you do that and you go on a cruise, so be it. But remember that's it's just a cruise. You know, your success will come. The whole goal of the scriptures is to what? Prepare ourselves for the kingdom of heaven. So that's true success right there. You know.
Okay. So Jonathan, what you're saying then, if you do those things that you're supposed to do by the scriptures, you may have those things, the house and the cars and the nice vacations and all those things. You may have those things anyhow. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. If it's
okay,
the
is there a guarantee
will,
that you're going to have those things, though?
That's between the Most High and Christ. I'm just the servant. So whatever the Lord grants his servants to have, so let it be. You know?
Okay, but suppose you're the type of person, that's what you want. You want salvation, but you really do want these things. You know, you want those nice things. Suppose that's the case. Suppose you're that woman, you really want those nice things. And not only, you know, are you trying to do your best to advance your career, but you know you want salvation also. You realize it's important because you know that one day that you're going to die and you want things to go well with you later on, okay? But right now you're living in this life and you want to have the trappings of success. So you are not only pursuing your career, but you're also supporting and encouraging your husband to pursue a career too. You know, is there anything wrong with that?
No, I mean, like
okay,
I said.
Again, no.
You got to work, D, but I mean, you're not going to put that drive of getting money above the drive of pleasing the Heavenly Father. So
okay.
Now, you know, let the chips fall where they may, as long as you keep the commandments in Christ and follow that doctrine.
Okay. So, Kazakia, take the same kind of situation, but now let's take it a little bit overboard where this woman is a careerist. She's involved in careerism. What are the potential consequences to her family as a result of her careerism?
Let's read here again. Let's read Ecclesiastes 27 and verse 3. It says, unless a man hold himself diligently in the fear of the Lord, his house shall soon be overthrown. Now, yes, the scripture says, unless a man holds himself, because the scriptures also tell you in Ezekiel 34 and 31, that the flock of my pasture are men, as thus saith the Lord. This does not mean that the woman cannot hold herself diligently in the fear of the Lord. Because the brother alluded to it in Titus chapter 2. She has just as much a responsibility to keep the commandments as well as teach the younger women and be that example, so forth and so on. Now, to answer your question, if the woman is more caught up in her career than keeping the commandments and dealing with her family, then same thing. The household will fall. You're going to have the children out of order, disobedient, disrespectful, not being taught, not being dealt with, not being disciplined. That the whole family structure will collapse. In the event that the husband's at home and he may not be as far up the corporate or the career ladder as the woman, guess what? If the woman is not there to being that pillar of rest, to be the pillar of support for her husband, then Lord forbid, but you run the risk of husband seeking out or seeking somebody else to be that pillar of rest, or finding himself interested in other things or dealing with other things outside of the realm of the marriage or between him and his wife. So for the woman that has that career, guess what? There is nothing wrong. No one here is saying that there's something wrong with having a career. No one is saying that. What we are saying, well, what I am saying, according to thus saith the Lord, is do not let the career take you from your responsibilities of first and foremost being that servant of the Heavenly Father in Christ. It doesn't matter if you are the career man or the career woman. Because, here again, in Ecclesiasticus, I have to read it for emphasis, Ecclesiasticus chapter 11, verse 14, prosperity and adversity, life and death, poverty and riches come of the Lord. It's the Heavenly Father that blessed you with the job to get the prosperity. How is it that you're going to put that job that the Lord blessed you with above the Lord himself? That, again, is idolatry. For every man or every woman, they have to establish that for themselves. The Scriptures gives us the basis. The Scriptures gives us the foundation as well as the edification. But we have to make the decision, all right, here's where I am in my job or my career, excuse me, since we're talking about careers. Here's where I am. I have my family. I have my husband. Since we're talking about the career woman, I have my family. I have my husband. I'm at a point. But if I go further, if I try to ascend to this particular point right here, then my husband and my family go lacking. And according to the Scriptures, they cannot lack. The Most High comes first. So my service to God goes lacking. And in my service to God, that lacks also my husband and my family. That's idolatry. It's supposed to be my service to God, husband and family, and then the career. Oh, yeah, while I'm thinking about it, Luke chapter 6 and verse 25. We alluded to it last week. We talked about it briefly last week. But the Scripture is still relevant to what we're talking about this week. In Luke chapter 6, verse 25. And it says, bear with me 1 second, please. Luke chapter 6, verse 25. Oh, did I say that right? Oh, 9 and 25. I apologize. Luke chapter 9, verse 25. It says, for what is a man advantaged if he gained the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Since we're talking about the career of woman, what is a woman advantage if she makes it to the courts all the way up the corporate ladder? She's CEO. She's the president. She's the president of that particular corporation. She's got money at her disposal. She has extremely nice house, extremely nice car, everything that this world has to offer. But she has broken a commandment. She has basically sold her soul. She has basically sacrificed her salvation to get it.
Okay. All right. Well, Kabar, we're talking about the career woman, and we're focusing on the impact that her career may have on her family. To really bring that point home, let's talk about the duties. What duties does a woman have at home? Because we understand that a man has certain responsibilities and duties to his family, but then doesn't the wife and mother also have certain duties and responsibilities? So would you kind of go a little bit into talking about how those duties and responsibilities interact with the career and what they're, what's appropriate and what's inappropriate in that whole interaction between your duties at home and your duties to your career?
Yes. You know, and I definitely want to continue to refer back the real-life example that the sister brought out, Sister Amada called in and brought out, because you see, you know, she's been on her job for, you know, quite a long time. And she has, you know, she's come to that understanding, grown to that understanding of what actually comes first. She was in a position where she put the world first, got the understanding, realized that's not what I'm supposed to put first. It's supposed to be Christ, the Most High Christ, my husband, like it says, 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. Now, everything from then on was about whatever she was doing in the world was all about enhancing her relationship with the Most High Christ, with her husband, her household. Everything was about extracting, right, using the world as not abusing it, extracting the resources of the world to build her relationship in Christ with her husband and her household. That's what it was all about. It wasn't about becoming anything in the world, getting any status. It was about, listen, it's about the Most High in Christ. I'm going to take from here to put here. Okay, now, the primary focus, Titus chapter 2 and verse 2, Titus chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, give you a brief overview about it as far as that young woman. Titus 2 and 4, that they're supposed to teach young women to be sober, meaning clear-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children. Okay, to be discreet, meaning having good judgment in how they behave and the words they use. Chaste, meaning how they carry their body, making sure it's with all purity. Keepers at home, managing, organizing, directing the household. It says, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, what we want to do is let's chase it out. Let's see some, that's the overview with the details. Proverbs chapter 31, start at verse 10, when it says, who can find my virtuous woman? I'm just going to hit point for point. It says that her, first of all, that virtuous woman is far above rubies. And verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. As a matter of fact, the Most High doesn't tell you to trust anybody except in a situation when it comes about trusting that woman that the Most High gave you. It doesn't ever tell you to trust in a man at any time. It's always telling you to trust the Most High Christ, and all the other time it tells you you can trust in a human being is that woman that the Most High gave you.
That's a real interesting point.
Yeah. Now.
And you know the reason why I say that's such an interesting point? It's because Eve brought something to Adam, and now which him agreeing with it really was against all of us, okay?
Yeah.
But now we have scriptures that's pointing to this virtuous woman who this man, his heart trusts in. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
And that's exactly the point. When a man and a woman is actually one flesh in Christ with that true understanding, she will give her life at a drop of a dime to protect her husband. And she's not going to allow anything to come in between that relationship, and she will sacrifice whatever she needs to in order to maintain that. The end. Verse 12 would tell you she would do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You see that? That's why the scripture tells you you can trust in that virtuous woman, because the Most High placed his spirit in that daughter and gave her to you. That's the only reason you can do that. Verse 13, going to some of the things she's going to be doing, says she seek wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. All this is going on in the household. It says what? She is like the merchant ship that bringeth food from afar off. Now here's some specific. Verse 15. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maiden. She's up early, organizing, making sure the things in her household were straight so that the day can begin to proceed in an orderly fashion. It says what? 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it and the fruit of her hands, and she planteth a vineyard. So she has understanding how to manage money. All right? She wasn't being micromanaged by her husband. It's just like when Sarah went to Abraham. Abraham said, listen, I know you're a wise woman. Do what's good in your sight. And she decided what judgment she was going to give Hagar, so on and so forth. That's when you have a virtuous and wise woman. You can trust in her judgment because it's one flesh, and her judgment will be the same as yours. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins to strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth in verse 18 that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. So check out this woman. She's up before the sun rises, and still up after the sun sets, making sure our household is taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So these are, and then it goes on and tells you that she's not neglected herself, because when you go down, it says she is not, verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for our household, for all her house is cold and scarlet, meaning expensive and rich apparel. Okay, that's the Most High blessing that he's put in that household, because that one accord and that seeking of the Most High is there first. Verse 22, it says, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Is this woman not taken care of? Is she not decked down? Is because she's focusing on her husband, the Most High Christ, her husband, the household, now she's neglected? No. This woman is decked down, but she understands how to order everything and doesn't put the apparel, like the world does, before everything else.
Let me just interrupt just for a second, because correct me if I'm wrong, but this, what you're going through right now sounds very much like the picture of success that people have in their mind about what goes on here in America.
I personally...
But she's not going about it the same way people in America go about it.
Exactly. And you see, you was able to get a real-life example when the sister called in. And yes, you see, all of these things, is she extracting the resources of the world to build her household. She's not extracting her own spiritual resources to build the things in the world. It's mm-hmm. a complete reverse, and this is a problem. I personally dubbed, you know, Proverbs chapter 31, starting at verse 10, the perfect woman, because it gives you a detailed blueprint on how the mindset of a woman, the actions of a woman, all of the details that you need to be there are present. Now, this is an interesting note. Proverbs 31 is what a woman told her son another woman is the right woman is supposed to be like. Let's not forget that. Because Proverbs 31 and verse 1, it says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. See, now we're going back into that Titus, the second chapter, about those elder women how they're teaching and guiding and able to instruct, not first and foremost that younger woman, but also, you see how she, that woman, because she has wisdom, she can teach her own sons and daughters the right way. So that mother can say, listen, I'm going to tell you what a real woman is. Boom. Now, look what the world is going for. That's shorty, that sister's fake. Okay, she's fake, she's real. That's a real sister right there, because they know what characteristics to look for.
Right. Right.
So the scriptures are breaking it down point for point exactly what a woman's supposed to be like. If you ain't, listen, there's nothing to argue about, sister. This is what the scripture says. If you're a miss, this is what you have to measure up to. Okay, this is the true success. When you bring your own self on the level of this, then you a true woman. Then you a true daughter of God. Then you standing in the right light you're supposed to be standing in. Unless you, if you're not measuring up to this, you failed. The end. Just like a man, the Most High gives the man that standard of the fullness or the measure of Christ that he's supposed to measure up to. If he don't measure up to that, I don't care how much money you got. You failed. So it's the standards of the scriptures, and it's always putting the Most High Christ first, and then all those things will be added. You can't find a forefather who was poor and destitute. The Most High always blessed them, but it was the understanding that they always had that it's not the money first, it's not the things, it's the Most High Christ, and everything else will be added. The focus is there. My focus is in the right place. Now everything can be set up in the right order.
You know, I have a question, and Ma dropped off, and I think this would be a perfect question for her. So if she listened and she called back in, I appreciate it, and she just responded to this question. And the question is, you know, for a woman to do these kinds of things, you know, because on some level, you know, it appears that she's sacrificing her career for the sake of her family and for the sake of being obedient to the Most High in Christ. Okay. Mm-hmm. Isn't that like a show of weakness? Isn't that like just really rendering yourself subservient and, you know, abasing yourself, you know, doing things for yourself that you shouldn't be doing, you know? Isn't that what's going on? Don't you have to go through all that in order to do what the scriptures is suggesting here?
I'm not really. If another brother really understands what the brother is asking, you can answer the question.
Yeah.
I'm not really.
I'll rephrase it. Okay. You've heard the phrase "strong black woman."
Mm-hmm.
In order to do that, don't you have to be a weak black woman?
No. Now that you put it that way, strong black woman. Okay. Let's get past the worldly norms and worldly nomenclature. Strong Israelite woman is that woman who understands that it's the Most High Christ, the husband, her place, and the children. The Most High has established an order. if I could just read it right quick. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. So let's see. First Corinthians 11 and 3. But I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So in that verse right there explains the order of how the Most High has established it. Ever since Genesis, that's how it's been. So for the woman who is understanding or knowledgeable of the scriptures, one, and two, she's applying the scriptures, she knows that this is the role that I play. This is the position that the Most High gave me. And these are the responsibilities that come in that position. And if that woman if that woman is assuming that role and she's maintaining the responsibilities associated with that role, in no way, no manner whatsoever, is that weakness. That is strength. And that strength comes first and foremost from the Lord, because she is doing what thus saith the Lord has commanded for her to do. So no, that is no sign of weakness, none whatsoever. The world may call that weakness, but that's not what the Lord calls it. And we should be concerning ourselves with what the Lord establishes as weak and strong, so forth and so on, rather than what the world establishes that.
Okay. Very good. Hey, just a moment. Let's go ahead and let this visitor in. Visitor from 5215, go ahead and give us your name and your question or comment.
Is that for me? This is Amar calling back.
Yes, Ahmad, thank you so much for calling back. Yeah, the question I had, did you hear the question I had?
Say it one more time.
The question is, if you were, Kabar went through Proverbs 31, and it talked about, you know, how this woman was rising there early and all the various and sundry things that she did in her household, the work that she was doing and so forth. That, you know, on some level, because of the things that she had, she appeared to have some wealth and so forth. On some level, it will appeal to the American women, okay? On some level, that would appeal to them. But she, we understand that the woman that described the virtuous woman is one that's obedient to her husband. She's looking after her husband's welfare. And Kabar even pointed out that, you know, this is the type of woman that she will actually lay down her life. She's going to resort to protecting her husband at all costs, okay? Her husband, her children, her family, and all those kinds of things, she's going to be strictly obedient to the scriptures. Nothing gets in the way of that. Now, we've often heard what a strong black woman is. And strong black women, they don't go about sacrificing their careers for any man, okay? So don't you have to be a weak black woman in order to go and do the things that the scriptures is calling for? Don't you have to render yourself subservient and weak?
Could one of the brothers go in the Apocrypha to Ecclesiastes? Don't go to the Apocrypha, I'm sorry. It's in the Bible, Ecclesiastes 4, and read 11 and 12.
All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It says, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. How can one be warm alone? Verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
All right, that's what's up. They're your strengths. As far as the strength is concerned, when you're in a marriage, you're not a separate entity. The two of you are one. And if you're dealing in the scriptures as one unit, as the scriptures say, according to the scriptures, the husband's running his house according to the scriptures, and you two agree on how things are going to be dealt with according to the scriptures, even in the workplace, and that's where your strength is at, you know. That's a threefold cord, you know, and it can't be broken. When you're talking about strength, you're talking about the strength according to the scriptures, not the strength according to, you know, someone's worldly ideal of being strong. A lot of times that worldly ideal of strength is a quick indicator that woman is out of order. You know, that's, and where she's at doesn't pan out with the scriptures. On that note, I'm going to leave. And it was good being on the show, brothers. Most High in Christ bless everybody.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling back in. Okay. All right. So, when we talk a lot about the impact on the family, I want to talk a little bit about the impact on the community at large, because, you know, we have those concentric circles. You know, we have our immediate family, those people who live in the house with us, and we do have our extended family, our cousins and so forth. And then outside of that, we have our circle of friends and those people that reside in our community. So now we have a woman who is involved in careerism. Can that careerism adversely impact her community? And if so, how does that happen? Anybody can jump in on this one.
Well, I'm looking for that scripture. Where's that scripture at? I'm looking for it in Colossians chapter 4. Yep, there it is. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So what we're supposed to be walking in, men and women, is the wisdom of the scriptures, the understanding of Christ. We're supposed to be walking in that to those, when it says toward them that are without, meaning those who don't understand, those in the community who haven't repented and have not yet attained the understanding and through the scriptures, the wisdom, excuse me, through the application of the scriptures. So as far as the community being affected, what happens is, as far as the community being affected, what happens in a lot of cases is that the parent or the woman at work, working, she's working long hours, so forth and so on. then the children are neglected. Then the children are neglected, and they're not being taught, they're not being raised, they're not being dealt with, they're not being disciplined. They're out in the community, being, for lack of better words, being gremlins, being demons, being wild, being out of order because that discipline and structure is not being enforced in the household. So, looking at the scripture from another aspect, how can you walk in wisdom, walk in the understanding of Christ if you're always at work? How can you let your light shine toward men and women? It doesn't matter. How can you let your light shine like Christ says you're supposed to let your light shine if you're always at work? You're not taking any other time to devote to studying the scriptures, to meditate in the scriptures like the Lord said we all are supposed to do. So in those two particular aspects, and there are other aspects as well, but in those two particular aspects, that's how the community can be affected. Because we're supposed to eat, I hate to use this common knowledge, each one, teach one. When it's according to the scriptures, that's how the community is built. That's how the community gets that firm, solid foundation in Christ. But if brothers and sisters aren't learning, aren't meditating the scriptures, aren't being those lights like Christ said for us to be those lights, in other words, those examples, how can that community be edified? It cannot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, very good. We have another visitor to the virtual living room, and this visitor has a telephone number ending in 2923. And visitor, if you would, go ahead and give us your name and your question or comment, please.
My name is Tina. And I have comments about a couple of things. One thing is the sister that called in, you asked the question about are you required, I think the question was, are you required to be weak in order to, what was that question again? Because I wanted to make a comment on that.
You often heard about the strong black woman. And just to, put the question in a nutshell, do you have to be a weak black woman in order to do what the scripture is suggesting that you do?
Yeah, I think when it comes to the scriptures, and the scriptures speak about being a strong woman, it's not black, white, whoever you are. I think it is a strong woman of God. And I think that you or one of the brothers read earlier in Proverbs, I think it was Proverbs 31, it gave you many, many attributes of what a strong woman of God is. And there is nothing about any of those attributes that demonstrate weakness on any level. Even though God has given us, Most High has clearly given us an order, and that order is being submissive to the husband, if you have a husband, and if not, understanding that you're to be submissive to God as your husband, if you had a husband, was to be submissive to God. So I think he clearly gives us the order of things, but I think there is a weakness in that submission. In fact, there is empowerment in that submission because you have a clear-cut road of how you are supposed to conduct yourself and what it is you're supposed to do. So I think it's, to the contrary, I think not only are you not required to be weak, I think it's a very strong position that you are allowed to hold, although we clearly know the scripture says we women are the weaker vessel. And as far as the workplace, I, like the sister who called in earlier, have the fortunate or unfortunate position of being responsible for many people on my job. And just like the sister, I too was quite career-oriented and wanted to strive to get to a certain place and knew I would make millions in a certain period of time and knew exactly what my plan was to do it. But as I began to understand that that was the Tina plan and not necessarily the God plan, and began to focus on God, then I realized that there are some things much more important. If I could have spent more time, I was a single mother, so if I had spent more time raising my children instead of trying to raise my children from work, my children would have had a stronger foundation, and I wouldn't have had to try to give them that later in life. So now what my responsibility is in corporate America is to make sure those employees that work for me, I make sure I push balance. I make sure that I try to convince them and teach them that work should not be their number one priority. Although I can't tell them to believe in the God that I serve, I do clearly say to them that God should be your number one priority, And if it's not God, it definitely shouldn't be work. So in my home, it's God first and then it's family because I don't have a husband. You can't, I also tell them that you only have one time to get that right. So don't lie about it. If you need to go to a meeting or you need to go to your child's school or whatever the case may be, don't lie about it. Say that's what it is, and then you go there. And, I mean, I try to help instill where the priority should be to the best of my ability. And I try not to perpetuate the ungodly things that go on in corporate America, whether it's taking an ink pen home. I don't take an ink pen home, and I make a joke about that. I say, I don't steal. That means I don't take an ink pen home. It doesn't belong to me. So I try to exemplify a lifestyle, and I'm not perfect. But when the boss or somebody does something that's ungodly, I try to pray for them instead of come back and do something ungodly back. You know how people get angry and they curse? I try not to do that. So those are the things that I think we have to do, kind of lead by our example to make somebody say there's just something different about that person.
All right, brothers, now we have heard from two career women, and in this particular instance, here's someone that actually has responsibility for other people. And so we didn't talk about the community being, your workplace as being part of your community, but that's also part of your community. And here, her actions have an impact on this part of her community. So could you just go ahead, brothers, and just kind of elaborate on what she's brought out here about her experience following the scriptures at the workplace?
Well, the example was actually brought out in Proverbs 31, where it talks about she orders her servants. Like the sister brought out, basically everything that she does and the way that she conducts herself, she applies the scriptures. And granted, like she said, none of us are perfect, but the thing is, everything that we do, we strive to maintain it through the example of Christ and following the scriptures. And because really I just had one point to bring out, you know, just to kind of hit home, is that going to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, what Christ was saying, he said that no man can serve two masters. And that's the point, because if we're career-minded, or, you know, a man or woman that's caught up in careerism, then guess what? Our career is our master. That's what's going to dictate our focus. That's what's going to dictate how we perceive things and how we live our lives. So that's the whole point, and that's what we're going to use to filter, if you will, the decisions that we make and how we guide ourselves, our household, with our kids, the example that we leave. That's our master. And we can't serve two masters.
Very good point. You want to, I'm going to give you the last word today. Just kind of give us some parting words. You got about, 30, 45 seconds.
Okay. Parting words, same for the women as for the men, is the whole duty of men is to fear the Heavenly Father and keep His commandments. So with that, that's all I have more to say.
Okay, we got a little bit of extra time, Kazakia.
Oh, man. the brother, basically, he alluded to what I want to say, whether you're a career man or a career woman. Do not let that career take you from your service, your duty, your responsibility, first and foremost, to the Heavenly Father in Christ, like the scripture says in Ecclesiastes, I believe, 12 and 13, that the brother John had quoted, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
All right, excellent. So, thank you so much, brothers and sisters. That concludes our program for today. Thank you so much, and all praises to the Most High in Christ. Shalom.
Brothers and sisters, thank you for visiting with us in the virtual living room of the Body of Christ Church. You can visit our website at thebocc.com, or you can email us at bodyofchrist@newreach.com, or call us at 877-871-1712. Until our next visit, the Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you. Shalom.